Hey, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, producer Andrew co-pilots as we walk through the latest news with the non-binary nuclear waste expert arrested for theft. What? Very bizarre story. And other stories that we talk about here on the Charlie Kirk Show. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. You could subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. In fact, I recommend it. And get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. And get involved with America Fest at amfest.com. That is amfest.com. Candace Owens will be there. Tucker Carlson will be there and more. amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Clint Lowry, who's a partner at Consumer Tax Advocate, one of our partners here on the Charlie Kirk Show. And I asked them to join the program to explain an extraordinary measure that is in the COVID relief bill that a lot of people that know about. You guys could check it out at covidtaxrelief.org. Clint, welcome to the program.
Very good to be with you, Charlie.
So, Clint, tell us about kind of who is eligible for this tax relief money. It's an extraordinary thing that most people don't know about.
So the employee retention credit is a partial refund of the wages that were paid to W-2 employees during the six quarters of the pandemic, as defined by, as you mentioned, the 2020 COVID relief bill, or the CARES Act is what it was called. And it was a $2.2 trillion bill put forth by the Trump administration. And the employee retention credit was something that wasn't made very much use of for quite some time, but things have changed dramatically. And we're here to help folks get qualified for this credit that can help them so much.
Yeah. So who appropriated this money? And I mean, just kind of talk more about the qualifications. And again, it's covidtaxrelief.org. I'm shocked at how much money actually is out there. And again, at Turning Point USA, we didn't accept any of the PPP money. However, it is out there for a lot of hardworking people that might want it and need it and might as well have good, hardworking patriots and business owners benefit from this. So kind of talk about who appropriated it and, you know, talk more about the qualifications around it.
So this was, again, part of the CARES Act in 2020. It was the federal government's response to the COVID pandemic. And so the thing that, as you mentioned, the thing that most people are well aware of were the PPP loans. That was the first program. Again, $2.2 trillion was the price tag on the overall bill. About $800 billion was for the PPP program. And it was very widely utilized. 16 million businesses qualified and received PPP funds. About 80% of that were loans that were forgiven. And the reason that it was out there and so prevalent was because it was put out through the financial system. And so everybody remembers that their bank and all their financial institutions they were associated with were sending them emails and everything about the PPP loans. Meanwhile, as that was going on, there was another program hidden in plain view, as so many things that you talk about are just like that. Hidden behind the PPP loan program was something called the Employee Retention Credit Program. And the ERC, again, it's a partial refund of wages paid to those W-2 employees of business owners during the time of the pandemic. It's kind of like a reward for those businesses that stayed open and those businesses that retained their employees during the pandemic, as difficult as it might have been. Many businesses were losing money and still paying those W-2 employees versus laying them off. And so this is a way for them to recover some of the losses that they had during that time. You asked about qualifications. Virtually everybody who was impacted at this point by COVID during those six quarters. And again, the quarters were the second, third, and fourth quarter of 2020 and the first, second, and third quarter of 2021. And so any business that had W-2 employees during that time that was impacted by COVID in one way or another, the rules have expanded so greatly over the last couple of years that virtually 90%+ of all businesses can qualify to receive some of this employee retention credit. And our organization is here to help as many companies across the country and organizations, churches, charities. That's another change that was made to qualify for this credit.
Yeah. And I, just to reiterate, you know, I think all this spending from DC is silly and not necessary. But look, you're about to enter a recession. I think we're already in a recession. If you're a business owner and this is available for you and you qualify, then I think you should be made aware of it. And COVIDtaxrelief.org can help you guys along that process, especially if you're an American loving business. It's better than the money being spent, you know, sent to Ukraine. I'd rather have it go to you guys. So is the money taxable?
No, it is. Again, it's a refund. It's a refund of wages that were paid to those W-2 employees. And I did want to touch on just one point there that you made, Charlie, that, you know, you disagree with the spending. I don't know anyone that's more fiscally conservative than I am. And so I agree with you that inflation by creating dollars and putting them into the system is not the way to get out of anything, certainly. And so we're on the same page in regards to that. We don't have any control over what happens in that regard in terms of how many dollars the Federal Reserve pumps into our system. There's a lot of different mechanisms that have happened. And so I'm on the same page with you on that. However, I do realize that this is a program that's out there. It's available. And if we refuse to benefit from the inflation that has already happened, mm-hmm. then we will be a victim of that inflation, as all of us have been over the past couple of years. And so I would encourage folks to think about that. Understand that, yes, inflation is not great. And again, when I'm talking about inflation, I'm not talking about price inflation. I'm talking about the creation of more money and putting it into
yes,
the system.
That's right.
Not great. I agree. However, we have to do whatever we can to get through this very difficult time. And, you know, Charlie, as you know, we could be seeing some even more difficult times economically in the next year or two.
Yes, that's right. And additionally, I mean, the big banks get bailouts, the airlines get bailouts. This is built for you, the carpenter, the plumber, the electrician. And so if it's morally consistent for you to do it, then so be it. I mean, you can all make your own decision. But if you're a business owner and you're struggling right now, which heck, with the energy costs, fuel costs, all this nonsense happening right there, it doesn't cost you anything. And that's the other thing, right? Is that you guys, you take a percentage of the money that you are able to get refunded. Can you walk through that, please?
Of course, yeah. This is something that a lot of people are going to be hearing a lot about over the next year or two. The employee retention credit. And so there's a wide variety of companies out there, and even CPAs, some CPAs do this as well. A whole lot of CPAs direct their clients to us and then ask the question, can I send you more of my clients? Because they don't want to be involved in something that they're not experts in. It is something that is fairly technical in terms of helping people to get qualified. So we have a very easy step-by-step process to help people get qualified and understand the rules so that they can feel comfortable that they do in fact qualify. We have a questionnaire that we run three people through, and we have people standing by right now. As a matter of fact, if the people go to the website there, we do have a phone number, but as you can imagine, thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses and organizations try to contact us when we do a show like this. And so please be patient with us. And the best thing to do is to actually fill in the lead capture page there on the website, and that is COVIDtaxrelief.org. And so we recommend that people go there, get connected. We'll get back to you as soon as we possibly can. We have a team of experts that will talk to you one-on-one about your specific situation and how COVID impacted your business. And then we will give you an estimate within, you know, 15 minutes or less. You know, we'll go through the questionnaire. We'll give you an estimate of how much you can qualify for. And then the next step would be is that we would need to get some documents from you to substantiate the credit. And that would be some of your employment information in terms of 941 forms that are part of your tax return, as well as some payroll reports. And so that's very simple. We have a step-by-step process to walk you through how to upload those to our system. And then we have a large team of accountants that actually calculate your specific credit. And once that credit is calculated, then you're given the opportunity to engage our services. Please note that I haven't said anything about collecting any money from anyone at this point. We've done a whole lot of work at that point. We've done all the calculations. And at that point, once we get to where we know the exact amount of credit that someone would qualify mm-hmm. for, then we will then give them the opportunity to engage our services. And the fee is 15% of the amount that is received in a credit. And that can be paid out of the money that is received and processed by the IRS.
Thank you, Clint. COVIDtaxrelief.org. Check it out. Charlie Kirk here. Look, I've told you about producer Andrew and how Relief Factor has really improved his life and relieved the pain in his knees and back. Now, let me tell you about Yvonne in California. She says this, quote, "Both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom from aches and pains like Relief Factor." I hear you, Yvonne. Relief Factor works for me too. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free solution developed by doctors based on scientific research to help your body attack the underlying inflammation causing you pain. 3 weeks from now, you could be doing the things you enjoy doing. Your first step to becoming pain-free could be just to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. After trying Relief Factor, over 500,000 people have gone on to order more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Live your best life and feel the difference with Relief Factor. I've been talking almost nonstop. Yesterday, I think I talked for like 7 hours. And there's so many things still to cover. So I asked producer Andrew to co-pilot for the remainder of this hour. Andrew, how are things going?
Things are going well. I got the game on right above me here, watching it so far. A little. It's pretty aggressive. Aggressive from the U.S.
For a soccer game, it's very aggressive. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
But, you know, I'm a little disappointed in the ball handling skills of the U.S. A couple easy giveaways. But listen, it's nil-nil. We're holding strong. We just need to win to advance.
Are you a soccer aficionado? You did spend a lot of time in Europe, though, and Seattle.
Well, so I love World Cup. I don't see how you don't love World Cup.
I'm the same way. I have a soft spot for the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm not a big soccer fan or follower, but I do love the World Cup. And, you know, I will tell you, I was messaging in the chat when they were doing the national anthem. I mean, it was, they were shouting it and mm-hmm. in such a charged political moment against Iran. I was proud to be an American in that moment. I really, really was. And I think that's what these sporting events don't get enough credit for, is how they bring people together. And we don't get enough of that, and it's under assault in the United States. And so it's just great that on the national stage, our players are standing. They got their hands over their heart. They're shouting mm-hmm. the national anthem, and
they're playing
I love
hard
it. It
too.
Felt like a throwback.
They're playing like a bat out of hell. So in soccer, one of my big complaints about soccer is the tying. I can't. And by the way, ever since the NFL started to institute the tie after the overtime, I thought it was the beginning of the end of national football. Like, I just do as many overtimes as it takes, as long as you don't have a tie. But if the United 100%. States doesn't win, they're done. So if they tie, they lose. It's over. It's folding. And in fact, if they tie, they will have tied all three of their matches.
And then Iran goes on to the next round, which we can't have happen. Here we go. Charging the okay.
Yep.
So we'll try not to get too distracted right now, but it's a great game.
This is a big, there's a lot of diplomatic, there's a lot of political implications in this. This is not just a bunch of guys running on the field. There's a lot going on here. And so there's a couple stories I want to cover here. And, you know, Andrew, first kind of I want to get your thoughts on Arizona. We had Kerry Lake on the program. You know, we talked about how the Washington Post has been covering a lot of our commentary here. Maricopa County Board of Supervisors blames this program for voting delays. Andrew, you've kind of been co-pilot firsthand for this entire drama that we've lived through. And we haven't just been spectators. We're now being accused of being participants.
It's in the official documents now. I mean, the Attorney General, you actually broke that on Twitter. You broke that story. The Attorney General's office, the Election Integrity Unit, demanded for a response from Maricopa County Board of Supervisors on what the heck happened on Election Day. and they gave them a short time window. Maricopa complained about the time window that they were given. And then they proceeded to call out Kelly Ward, Tyler Boyer, and Charlie Kirk, saying that it's all their fault for dissuading people from dropping their ballot in door three, in box three. Well, if you actually go through the record, Charlie, and I did this as soon as these complaints were levied against you and Tyler and Kelly, on that same day, about an hour apart, you said the first tweet that you sent out was, please don't put it in box three. You will not be tabulated that day. There's chain of custody concerns. Here's the website. Go look at another polling center, a vote center that you can get to nearby that may or may not have working tabulators and printers. Now, remember, timeline's important. You nor anybody else understood the depth and the breadth of the problem that day. We were being told that it was six voting centers. It turned out to be far more than that. Now, the number is getting debated, right? Now, they're officially owning the fact that there was about 30% of the voting centers had issues. In actuality, it might be 50%. And there's one report from 11 independent Republican attorneys that they're part of the RNC, funded by the RNC, that have gone into Maricopa County and done their own poll, basically, where they went to about 111 voting centers, and they found that it was almost 63% of voting centers that were impacted, right? So we can argue all day about how widespread the problem was. It was way too, I mean, even if you go by their number, there was 30% and not 62.6%. It was still far too large of a problem.
And they wonder why people are so fired up. People get angry for good reason when the person or the organization or the institution just refuses to take any semblance of responsibility. Absolutely. Right now, Bank of America has just lowered its 2022 forecast for the S&P 500 by a whopping 900 points to 3,600. Saying we're headed for a recession this year, it said the new year target is the lowest on the street. This is not good news for those of you stuck in equities or anything tied to stock markets. I know thousands of people who have put their trust in Noble Gold to prevent losing money in the financial storm that is brewing. You can join them by calling their expert team. Noble Gold has recently voted the number one gold company in the country by Consumer Affairs. No call centers, no scripted response, no bull, just a straight, honest run through options so you can decide. And by the way, they're giving away a beautiful 1/10 of an ounce gold American Eagle coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover this month. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. There's a very interesting story around this person, Sam Brinton. Andrew, we've talked about Sam Brinton before. And what is Sam Brinton's role? He's like the assistant secretary of nuclear energy or something.
You have like waste management, nuclear waste. Let me see here. We have the Department of Energy disposal of dangerous nuclear waste. That's it.
Okay, so a pretty important role. I mean, this guy's not, you know, in charge of dog catching in the Georgetown area, right? So this person is a total freak, and I don't use that word lightly. I don't. And so, do we have a picture of this man? Now, is this person claims to be transgender? Is that what it is?
Non-binary. Whatever you'll do with that. Yeah. And so this story.
Do we have a picture of? Yeah. Okay. So there you go. By the way, every bald wears women's clothing. Did he put the nuclear reactor on him like that? Just trivializing the job that they have. It's unbelievable. And so everyone who's votes Democrat, I want you to send that to your friends. Like, that's what you voted for. Okay. Can you just put that back up? 53. This is the mascot of the Democrat Party. Okay. So we knew this person obviously had deep seated mental problems, which by the way, shouldn't make you necessarily sleep well at night, that one of the people that is very close to our nuclear reactors and the thermonuclear capabilities of the American West is Sam Brinton. So what happened to him recently, Andrew? Or what did he do?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right. I think this guy obviously had some mental issues. And, you know, it all played into this whole season that we were living through under the Biden regime of Admiral Rachel Levine, also known as Richard Levine. You were kindly suspended from Twitter for dead naming Richard Levine. So let's just do it. So, but to your point, he had a very serious job, has a very serious job, disposal of nuclear waste. What people don't know about Sam Brittain, which I think is interesting, in his spare time, Brittain is a sex fetishist, mm-hmm. Who hosts kink workshops where he encourages men to role play wearing dog masks. That's right, Charlie. Role play with dog masks. This is the Biden regime's idea of a promotable worker.
No, and everyone here who voted for the Democrat Party, every Christian that voted for the Democrat Party. I hope you understand. These are the freaks that you put into power. Keep going.
Well, and he identifies as non-binary and goes around wearing women's clothing. And this is actually really sick. He's a member of a sacrilegious drag queen society called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which literally, Charlie, mocks Catholic nuns with names like Sister Porn Again instead of Born Again, obviously. Mm-hmm. Sister Porn Again. This guy's super messed up. We all knew it. It was not a hard call. Yet if you were on social media criticizing this person, you were said to be engaging in hate speech, right? It's one of these formations that the left constructs around our speech.
Yes.
So now we have this story breaking yesterday from Alpha News. Sam Brittain has been charged with felony theft for stealing a woman's luggage at the Minneapolis airport. According to police reports, Brittain walked up to the baggage claim and made off with a Vera Bradley roller bag. So this is a very expensive roller bag, designer roller bag. Sam Brittain sees it, obviously has a thing for women's clothing, women's fashion, takes it. Security camera catches Sam Brittain rolling off with it, identified through security footage, and then the police contact Brittain. And what does Brittain say? That he didn't take anybody's bag. No, that didn't happen. Then only later does he admit that he accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally took the bag, but nobody's clothes were in it. Guess it was empty. Just picks up an empty bag and rolls off with it. Well, then Charlie, gets better. He finally admits that there were clothes in it, but that he left them in the drawers in the hotel that he was staying at. No clothes, however, were recovered at the hotel.
This guy needs a defense attorney.
Yeah, but that he kept the bag because it would have been weird to leave that behind. So that his whole justification was that, no, he didn't take it. Oh, okay, I did take it, but there were no clothes in it. I just left him in the drawers of the hotel. There's no clothes at the drawer, or there's no clothes in the drawers of the hotel. And then he took the bag because that would have just been weird to leave it behind. And anyway, so we have a public kink fetishist that also apparently has a kink for stealing women's clothes. And this person is in charge of disposing of our nuclear waste.
And
welcome to America.
Has now been charged, right?
Yeah, charged with felony theft. So this is the person that the Biden administration regime. Did we get a goal?
Unless it's offsides, which very well could be.
1-0. It looks like one of our strikers is down writhing on the ground. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but it's soccer. So
They just need to spray spray the stuff on his leg and he'll hop right back up.
I hate to be cruel, but in soccer, if you're on the ground, this doesn't look very performative. He looks like he's hurt.
Yeah, he's a great player, by the way.
He's terrific. He plays for Chelsea, I think. Is that right? Chelsea or Manchester United? Manchester City. Ooh, that could have been offsides. Oh my gosh, I think that was
No. It just went by the time the ball's hit.
Really?
So when the pass is made, he was behind. See, it was a great pass.
You did live in Europe for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I had to have this explained to me quite a bit, Charlie.
Is that
but
right?
I did.
Oh wow,
I went
we got
a lot of games.
Knee right into him. That was actually a very beautiful play, though.
Ooh, that hurts. So I do want to address why this is important.
No, but you mean the soccer match or the kink fetish person?
The kink fetish person.
Got it.
Actually, there's a tie in here, Charlie. So, we were talking about this yesterday, and I mean, one of the stories that has captured headlines recently is this Balenciaga child exploitation if you guys haven't heard about this, you know, it's truly sick and disgusting. You know, Kanye West is one of their people that sort of wears their clothes. Kim Kardashian. I mean, this is a massive, massive brand on the world stage. And we sort of started looking around. We're like, man, this is crazy. How many different instances of pedophilia and child abuse and child exploitation are getting mainstreamed, right? And, you know, I think it was over Thanksgiving break that there was actually an academic out of, we're talking about Europe, it was out of England, I believe it was Oxford or Cambridge, that basically wrote an op-ed saying, or some sort of paper saying that, you know, Jesus Christ was probably trans, right? And then you had the Club Q shooting, which we got lectured about the stochastic terrorism, I believe is the expression, meaning that conservatives on social media like yourself were, you know, targeting the trans community that was engaging in a family-friendly drag show for underage kids, obviously coming to this Club Q, and that somebody targeted them for that because they're getting too much bullying on social media. Well, it turns out it was actually a non-binary shooter, right? And then you haven't heard about Club Q in the news at all recently. So you've got all these things. Balenciaga walks back the ad campaign, but only to find out that the person that was responsible, that their lead designer at Balenciaga is actually somebody that's been photographed holding red babies, like blood red babies in her arm. Really disgusting stuff. And, you know, not only that, like listen to this list. We call it the pro-pedo lobby. Washington Post and New York Times write rave reviews about a new pedo-sympathizing play called Downstate.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Balenciaga glorifies the pedophilia in their new ad campaign. And then you have this story out of California with this state senator named Scott Wiener. So if you don't know this name, his name is Scott Wiener. And he has success. He is the most prolific. He's the most prolific state senator, I think, in the country. The guy has been massively, massively effective at getting basically pro-pedophilia laws passed. So there was a viral story yesterday where thousands of these pedophiles, convicted pedophiles, are getting released onto the streets of California without even serving a year in prison. And it's because he's successfully passed a law that's diminishing the criminal effect of you know, getting convicted of sexualizing or abusing young children. And this Scott Wiener has been photographed at these gay pride parades and different things wearing sort of like S&M type costumes. And it's very, I mean, we probably could get a picture of it. I know you posted one on your Twitter, but I mean, this guy is also behind laws that allow parents that are disagreeing about the gender fluidity of their child. One of the parents is able to basically kidnap the child, go to California and get, I forget the expression actually right now off the top of my head, but essentially encouraging the trans identity of their child. Now, if one of the other the parents disagrees, too bad. In California, there's now protections for that parent that kidnapped the child to go get the surgery or the hormonal treatment, gender affirming care. So he's behind that. Go ahead.
I mean, it's anything but affirming, but go ahead.
No, absolutely. He's also behind the guy, behind the law that that made softer penalties if you were convicted of intentionally spreading HIV. So this guy is basically behind any disgusting law that's been passed in California. The guy is got his hands deep into it, and he leverages the what you call the alphabet mafia, the power of the alphabet mafia to terrorize any sane legislator in the state of California. And he threatens them with that. Remember, also, Scott Wiener was friends with DePape, the hammer hiding Paul Pelosi accuser. He knew DePape from San Francisco.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. So this
I thought this guy was just like a nudist hippie. I didn't even remember.
Scott Wiener's got his hands in everything, which is it's another one of those
I think he's got more of his hand than his hands and things, but there's other bodily autonomy that I think has been involved.
I would tend to agree with
Mr.
you.
Wiener.
Yeah, Mr.
I'll
Wiener.
Allow the audience to speculate. Everybody, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Estados Unidos, the United States is up 1-0 against Iran. I hope it holds. Would love to see them get to the round of 16. So, Andrew, let's talk more about the Balenciaga. Did I say that right? Saga?
Yeah, you said it right. Yeah, you got it. So, Balenciaga.
I try to be very honest with the audience always. Prior to them being exposed as pedophiles, I'd never heard of them before. Evidently, they're a big deal, right?
Massive deal. Okay. Massive deal. You can't really overstate it. I mean, like I said, Kim Kardashian is about as big of an endorser as you can get
in this
space.
Who she is.
Well, just by sheer, I mean, we might hear the name Kim Kardashian and kind of think what we will.
No, I've met her. She's actually a very smart person.
No, her social media footprint is so enormous.
Yes.
So enormous. And her impact on young women, her impact on just fashion trends around the world is difficult to overstate. Balenciaga, you know, they want you to believe that, that pedophilic ad campaign was just sort of something they didn't really catch or they didn't realize, you know, going back to it, there was, if you zoomed in on some of the imagery of these children being sexualized, there was a Supreme Court decision that actually was a piece of paper in the background, but you could zoom in on it and actually see it, which helped decriminalize some sort of child sex abuse. I wish I knew the background there, but these were very direct messages that they were putting in there. And, you know, I mentioned her name's Lada Volkova. She's the chief designer. She's pictured here all in red. I mentioned it briefly. There you can see it blood red hair and two babies in her arms, both blood red. You know, this was not an accident. There's something very, very sick going on at Balenciaga. And who knows what's behind it? You know, the mainstream media likes to target people that call this stuff out, and they mention like Q or whatever. I mean, you know, we think that stuff's, you know, mostly crazy, right? But that being said, it's like, you know, and they dismiss these challenges to this weird pedophilic culture that just seems normalized.
And look, I mean, there's, if you read the mockeries of what they call, the media calls QAnon and all that, they say a lot of people in the Q community, whatever that means, right, are always so concerned and worried that there's a pedophilic underpinning of our society. How stupid are they? And then you have these advertisements.
It's right there.
I mean, it's, and then you have Epstein, right? And you have, go ahead.
You're absolutely right. To your point, it's like, look at what, you know, the DOJ is more concerned about Elon Musk liberating Twitter than they are about Jeffrey Epstein.
That's a good, well, I mean, you should tweet that they're more concerned about what's happening, what's being cleaned up on Twitter than Balenciaga.
And by the way, guess what? The one thing that Elon Musk went after on day one was the exploitation of children on Twitter. There was when Elon Musk took over Twitter, there was still hashtags that linked directly to child pedophilic sites on the internet. So the exploitation of young kids was still allowed on Twitter until Elon Musk took over.
Remember,
the DOJ is going after him.
Remember,
think about that.
Cuties with Netflix?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So, I mean, the media they go after, and they overgeneralize. Oh, it's this cult of Q people that I'm like, hold on a second. All that stuff aside, because I don't even know what that means, because it's an unspecified smear campaign, right? Where they just kind of overly generalize. Are you trying to tell me that there isn't like this strange drumbeat pattern of pedophilia in our culture? Right?
There absolutely is. And Charlie, it's coming from, this is how these things get normalized. And this is what's so important about this conversation, is it starts with these academic sort of ivory tower conversations where they say, well, it's actually minor attracted persons, and it's a legitimate condition.
Yep.
And we shouldn't stigmatize these people the way that we are. Charlie, that then gets translated into a Broadway play called Downstate, which then gets reviewed with glowing rave reviews from the New York Times and the Washington Post. It says how we deal with some of these issues in society, you know, needs to be changed. It's gross.
Everybody email us freedom@charliekirk.com. The New York Times wants to glorify pedophiles. I think there's something else we should do to them. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.